This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, praise God. We are on a 21-day fasting and prayer. Amen. And we're going into our third week of fasting and prayer. And I hope you guys are still sticking in there because God will richly reward those that seek Him. Do you believe that today? And every week I've been endeavoring to give you a message connected to fasting and prayer that will help encourage you through these 3 weeks in your journey of getting closer to God. I could say 3 weeks in wilderness. Amen. And but you know, it's a journey. You know, our walk in Christ is a journey to get closer to God. And I believe fasting and prayer can bring that closeness of the Lord to us. Amen. I just want to just kind of hit on a few of my titles that I preached on. And one of them is that God wants to give us a fresh anointing on our walk. Amen. And so a fasting and prayer, I believe, can renew that relationship with the Lord. Have you ever felt like you've been bogged down by life? Has life ever bogged you down? And even in the process of us serving God, sometimes we're not as excited. You know, when we first get saved, we get really excited about the things of God. And sometimes, you know, after a little while, our excitement dies down. But God wants us to stay excited about Him. Do you believe that today? Amen. And He doesn't want us to be bogged down by life. And I know life can bog us down. And so I don't know about you, but I want a fresh anointing on my life. Jesus was talking about fasting, and He says you got to put new wine in new wineskins. You can't put new wine in old wineskins, or the wineskins will burst. So you got to have a new wineskin. This 3 weeks, you are growing a new wineskin so you can receive the more of the glory of God. And so fasting brings us into a closer walk with God. Amen. In Matthew 11, 28, 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor or heavy laden or burned out, and I will give you rest." This is what I believe, that when we get close to God, God wants to give us rest from all what the world is trying to do in our lives. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burdens are light." So what is He saying? Jesus is saying, when you hook up with Him in fasting and prayer, you're yoking up with Him, and it will get easy. Your life in Him will not be hard. It shouldn't be hard serving God. Amen. I'm going to say again, it should not be hard serving God. It should be a delight. Fasting and prayer can bring healing and deliverance into our lives. Amen. And, you know, I don't know about you, but every once in a while I deal with sickness, and I don't want to deal with it. And praise God, I've been healthy lately, and I want to stay healthy. Amen. How many people want to stay healthy? Glory to God. Amen. And thank God. So I'm not going to, when the flu knocks on my door, I'm not going to answer it. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to answer that flu call. Amen. And, you know, in Isaiah 58:8, it says, "Then your light shall break forth like the morning," talking about fasting, "and your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard." I love that. So we see here, just in this scripture right here, it talks about the blessings of fasting. God will give you His light. God will heal you speedily. God's righteousness will go before you, and His glory will be upon your life. Amen. And I don't know, when I read some of these benefits, I'm telling you, I'm all excited about fasting and praying, glory to God. And then the last week, we talked about fasting and prayer to bring a fresh vision into your lives. And I don't know about you, but I want to run on fresh vision. I want to run on a dream. And that's what we should be running on, amen? And God can reveal things to us in our fasting and prayer. In Jeremiah 33:3, And I pray this prayer as often as I can. I pray this out to the Lord. And in Jeremiah 33:3, every time I see the clock that says 3:33, I pray this prayer. Amen. And I see it every once in a while, 3:33, and I'm praying this. And it says here, call to me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. That's powerful. That's powerful. So God wants to reveal to us some truth. Do you believe that today? God wants to reveal to us things that we do not know. In other words, there might be areas in our life where we may not be seeing as clearly as we need to see. And God can reveal areas in our life that we can adjust and get better. Somebody say, I'm getting better. And we get better in God when we have more light on the subject. Amen. So today I want to focus my message today on fasting, a Bible key to humility. Amen. Now I believe the Bible doesn't teach the Bible doesn't teach us that God's going to humble us. Sometimes you hear people say God's going to put you through a humbling lesson. Have you ever heard that before? But really, the Bible teaches us that if we're going to be humble before God, we got to humble ourselves before the Lord. And so we got to do things to humble ourselves. And the opposite of humility is pride. And, you know, we don't want to walk in any degree of pride. And it's easy to walk in pride. It's easy to walk in self-sufficiency. It's easy to walk in leaning on yourself. But God doesn't want you leaning on yourself. He wants you leaning on Him. Amen. Amen? Because I'm telling you, you can only go so far, but God can go a lot further. Amen. And so pride, the middle letter in pride is I, and it's self-focus. It's being focused on self. But really, faith is being focused on God and being focused on being a blessing to others. So prideful people don't think about blessing others. They only think about themselves. And there are some pitfalls to pride. In Proverbs 16:18, it says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So you know that you're in pride when you stop being thankful. I'm going somewhere this morning. When you stop being thankful and grateful for what you have in God, if you stop being thankful and you stop being grateful, there's pride entering into your life. Amen. Or you start blaming people or blaming God. There's pride entering into our life. Amen. And so Proverbs 13:10 says, but pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well advised is wisdom. So in pride, there's always strife, bickering, arguing, there's no peace in pride. In Proverbs 16:5, it says, every proud heart is an abomination to the Lord. That's pretty strong. Every proud heart. Why don't people receive Jesus as Lord? You know, have you ever thought about that? A lot of it has to do with pride. They have the pride of life. They want to live their lives for themselves. They don't want Jesus to be their Lord. That's the reason why people don't receive. It's pride. Pride is the root cause of people not serving God. Amen? But we don't want to be prideful. We want to be humble. Glory to God. And so in 1 Peter 5:5-6, it says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God is looking to promote some of us. Amen. He's looking to raise us up to the next level. God doesn't want to stay in the same. And God's not keeping us down. I'm going to say it again, if you are down, it's not because God, it's in the cards and that's the way your life is going to be a down life. No, God wants your life up. Do you believe that today? He wants you going up. He wants you always going higher. The devil wants you going lower. Amen? Now, I know when we get close to God, we can get on our knees and get low and then look up to see God's blessings in our life. So here in this scripture here, it says that submission and humility go hand in hand. He talks about submitting to godly leaders and submitting to one another in the love of the Lord. So submission is a key to walking in humility to God. Somebody say, I'm submitted to God. Amen. And so if you're in submission, now rebellion is pride, submission is humility. So we don't want to rebel, we want to submit. Amen. My question to you today, are you a submissive person? Does it always have to be your way? Do you ever allow, others, people in their opinion, you ever allow them to take the lead in the road? You know, and sometimes we got to take the low road and let other people take the high road. In other words, sometimes we need us to submit to other people, spouses. Sometimes you need to submit to your spouse every once in a while. Amen. In the love of the Lord. In the love of the Lord. In other words, it can't always be your way. Have you ever thought about that? Sometimes when we're in a marriage, sometimes it's one person always wants it their way. But you know, it's a give and take. Is that right? We got to give and we got to take. Amen. And I like that. So let's read the scripture again. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all you be submitted to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Glory to God. So I don't know about you, but I want to be clothed with humility. And I'm telling you, it's not easy, because I'm telling you, how many people out here have flesh? How many people? And when you have flesh, you want it your way. And so it's not easy to submit to the Lord. Amen. Another scripture says here, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I don't know about you, but I need more grace of God in my life. I don't have enough grace working. I pray for grace. Amen. And I need God's grace. You need God's grace. God's grace is an empowerment in your life. God's grace enables you to do the impossible. God's grace can help you do whatever God is calling you to do in your life. His grace empowers you. And so when you're walking in humility, you're saying, God, I need you. I got to have you in my life. I can't do this life without you. I can't do it by myself. I got to have you in my life. I got to have you moving in my life every day. Glory to God. So we need to come to a place where we're submitted to God. Amen. And when we're submitted to God and humbling ourselves before God, when we're in pride, God resists us. But when we're in humility, we become irresistible to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? So in pride, he resists, but in humility, we become irresistible in God. And we find this out in Daniel, because Daniel was fasting and praying to receive some insight from the Lord. And an angel was dispatched to Daniel, which is amazing. Do you know God is still working through angels today? Amen. And do you know that God can minister to you through an angel? Amen. Somebody say, I believe that. I believe. And it wasn't just for the patriarchs. It wasn't just for the people in the Bible. It's for us today. Amen. I remember my mom was driving on a road and she went off into a ditch and her car went to a ditch. And then these people came up. She prayed, Lord help. And these people drove up in a car. Two big guys got out and pulled her car out of the ditch. Got back in the car and left. And before they could say anything. And she believed there were angels. Amen. I mean, they lifted the car out of the ditch. It was a Lincoln Town car. It wasn't these little tiny cars. So you know that, there are angels out here. And angels can look like people. Amen. And the Bible says that we can entertain angels unaware. Amen. So you have a heavenly army at your beck and call.
Amen.
Somebody say amen on that.
Amen.
So you're not by yourself. Amen. You got God Almighty and the angels, armies of God working with us. Amen. And when Daniel was praying, an angel came to him and he said, Daniel, you are highly esteemed. I like that. The angel said, Daniel, you're highly esteemed. Consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. And so this place of fasting brought Daniel in a place where God highly esteemed him. And I believe there's levels of grace that we can walk in. I believe there's levels of blessings as church people that we can walk in. And I don't know about you, but I want to walk in the highest level.
Amen.
I want God think, I want my picture on God's refrigerator.
Amen.
I want my picture in his wallet. Amen. I want him thinking about me. Amen. And so I'm telling you, Daniel was highly favored of God. Why? Because he sought the Lord with a whole heart. And David talks about fasting, and he says, when I wept and I humbled myself with fasting in Psalm 69:10, and I became my reproach. So he says here, when I wept and humbled myself. We know that David equated humbling himself before the Lord and fasting. He equated that going hand in hand. And so we love that. So if we're going to fast, then it takes humility to fast before the Lord with a right heart attitude. In Isaiah 58:5, it says it this way: is this the kind of fast that I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is this what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Amen? And so really, he's saying fasting. Here, Isaiah is saying fasting and humbling ourselves go hand in hand. I believe that's the highest way of humbling ourselves before the Lord, is letting go of the natural and embracing the supernatural.
Amen.
Somebody say, I'm letting go,
I'm letting go
of the natural and embracing the supernatural. So as you fast, you're moving towards God, and God can bless us. Amen. And so fasting, you know, back in the Old Testament, they fasted for a lot of different reasons. And you can fast in repentance. So if you're in areas of your life where you need a change, you could go into a fasting and you can repent. Amen. You can fast that God will, you know, do something in your family's life. Maybe there's areas in your family that they're doing wrong things, that God would forgive them. You can pray for forgiveness for your family. Amen. And you could fast that God will move in their lives. Some of your family members may not be living, you know, exactly the way they should be living before God. And you could fast for your family members. God can touch your family members. Do you believe that today? He can touch your kids. He can turn your kids around. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what they're doing. God can intervene.
Amen.
Do you believe that today?
Yes.
And God can wreck their lives in a good way.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And sometimes we need to pray and fast for our children. Jesus, in Luke 23:34, when he was on the cross, he prayed forgiveness for those that were coming against him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. So if Jesus can pray forgiveness to those that were hurting him, we can ask the Lord to forgive our family members of areas where they're missing God in.
Amen.
And I believe that God will hear our prayers.
Amen.
Do you believe that today?
Amen.
God will hear our prayers and God will touch people. You know, I really believe that God's looking for people to stand in the gap.
Amen.
How many people are willing to suffer a little bit so that the glory of God could be manifested down here? And it's going to take a little bit of suffering. Nobody likes to talk about suffering. We want all the pleasures of life. God created all things good and to enjoy. I like that scripture. Amen. But I don't like the suffering scriptures. There are scriptures where we will suffer in this life. If we live righteously, we will suffer persecution at times. But we don't like those scriptures, but they're in the Bible. Jesus said that we will encounter some hard days at times. But be of good cheer, because Jesus has overcome the world, and you can overcome this world no matter what you're going through. You got to believe that today. And so Jesus is looking for people to stand in the gap. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." What, Pastor? You're saying that he's saying that some of us might have some wicked ways. There's areas in our life that may not be totally submitted to God. I'm going somewhere this morning. That went over like a lead balloon. There's areas in our lives that may not be totally submitted to God. And there might be some areas in our life where we're not totally pleasing God like we need to be. And so there's areas where we need to quit doing some things. And we need to embrace doing some things. Amen. And so here he's saying here, turn from your wicked ways, which means a self-centered, a selfish life, and look to God and look to being a blessing even to the nation around us. We need to pray for our nation. Our nation needs prayer. And I really believe that if we fast and pray, that God can do something. He can hear from heaven. And notice it says, forgive their sin and heal their land. Amen. I'm telling you, I want God's blessing on my life. So fasting is a powerful way of humbling ourselves before the Lord in repentance and revival. You know, I'm going to talk to you about a few people in the Old Testament that applied fasting and prayer. One of them was Jonah. Does anybody remember Jonah? And Jonah, you know, was an interesting fellow. Amen. And Jonah wasn't this real obedient person to God. And God gave Jonah a commission to preach to the Ninevites. And you know the story. And Jonah, you know, took a ship the opposite direction of Nineveh and basically said, "I'm not going there." Has God ever asked you to do something and you said, "No, I'm not going to do that"? Amen. And then you changed your mind. Amen. Have you ever you say no at first, and then the Lord keeps working on your heart, and you say, okay, you know, God will keep working on you. Amen. Even though you might say no, have you ever said, "No, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to church this morning," but you're getting up anyway. Amen. Glory to God. And sometimes we say no to the Lord. Amen. But God will keep working with you. God's not going to give up on you. Amen. God's going to keep working on you until you're walking with Him. Amen? Amen. Especially if you got a pastor praying for you. Amen. You're in trouble because I pray for you like almost every day. So you're not going to escape the blessings and the plan of God in your life. Amen. But Jonah was going the opposite direction. And in Jonah 1:3, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come before me.' But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so that he paid the fare and went down into it to go with him to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." He was trying to escape God. And I'm going to say this, you can never escape God. It doesn't matter how hard you run, God will always be there. Do you believe that today? Have you ever tried to run from God? Amen. Have you ever tried to escape God? Amen. You can run, but you can't hide. Because God has your number. God loves you too much to let you go. Amen. And He's going to always be working with you. Amen. And so I love this. And Jonah went on to this boat. And the Bible says that, you know, that a storm came up on the boat. And so Jonah knew what was the problem. He just, you know, they woke him up. He was sleeping in the boat, kind of like Jesus in the boat when the waves were going up. And they said, "What's going on?" And they found out that he was the man that served the God of the Israelites. And so he had them throw him off the boat. But you know what? God had a big fish to swallow him up. Amen. And you know what happened was he was in that fish for 3 days. He had a forced fast for 3 days. Amen. Are you think about that. That was a forced fast. Amen. And but you know what? In that belly of the whale, I don't know why it took him 3 days, but he finally cried out to the Lord. I'm telling you, you're going to be miserable without walking with God. You're going to be a miserable person if you try to run from God. Amen? And I'm telling you, he cried out in Jonah 2:2. It says, he said, I cry out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me out of the belly of Sheol, and I cried, and you heard my voice. So we see here that he was fasting, but he was repenting because he was running from God. You know, repentance is a good thing. It's good to get your life right with God. It's good if you know there's areas in your life that's not right to get it straightened out and say, God, I want to live for you. I don't want to live for myself. Amen. And so I love this because God is a God of the second chance. God is the God of the third chance. God will give you multiple chances to do a U-turn because he's the U-turn God. Amen. And so it said the word of the Lord came to Jonah in Jonah 3:1-2, and the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh. God didn't change his mind. God still had a commission on Jonah's life. And I'm going to say this, when God commissions us to do something, you might as well give in and do it. Because he's called you to do it. Amen. And you're not going to be a happy person until you're doing what God is calling you to do. Can I get a witness in the house today? And so he said the second time, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach to the message that I tell you. So Jonah preached to the Ninevites. And guess what they did? They repented. And how did they repent? They fasted and prayed. Because Jonah said God's judgment was coming on the Ninevites. And I'm telling you, prayer and fasting can thwart the judgment of God in a person's life, in our lives, glory to God, when we get humble before him. When we start fasting and praying, it shows our earnest faith towards a loving God. And God wants to know that we're earnest, that we're serious about turning from our ways and going God's way. Amen? And so he preached to the Ninevites, and God, he went ahead and forgave them of their sins, and he relented from judgment and destroying the city. And so this was a great blessing to the Ninevites, amen, that they fasted and prayed. The keys of humbling ourselves before God is fasting and prayer, which caused God's grace and his promotion to come into our lives. Amen. I love that. The second character we want to talk about this morning is Nehemiah. Have you ever heard of Nehemiah? He was a cupbearer to the king at that time. And he was a cupbearer, and he heard about Jerusalem walls being burnt down. And he was thinking about, you know, that the walls were down in Jerusalem, and that the city was ravaged, and that, you know, that he was having remorse about the city and the walls being down. And so he prayed and fasted that God would do something. And he fasted and prayed, and God did something. He commissioned Nehemiah to go build the walls in Jerusalem. And so he fasted and prayed. Now he served the king that had all authority over Nehemiah. And what did the king do? The king gave him grace. The king asked him what he needed, saw that he had a sad countenance. And the king gave him everything he needed and gave him provision for the vision that God gave him. And I'm telling you, when you start humbling yourself and praying and fasting, God will promote you. He will give you provision. He will bless your life. Glory to God. And I love that. And so I don't know about you, but we need to be believing. You know, we should have a little bit of remorse in our hearts when our nation is not doing well. We should have a desire to pray for our nation. Or if our family's not doing well, we should have a desire to pray for our family. We should have a desire to seek the Lord. Amen. And once again, if we God's people are called by His name, if we just continue to humble ourselves, pray and seek His face, and turn from our wicked ways, He will hear from heaven and He will forgive our sins. Glory to God. I love that. So I love that. So in Isaiah 6:8, it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom I send, I will go for us. Then He said, here I am, send me." So this is Isaiah. He's saying, he's praying to the Lord. And he's saying, "Lord, I will stand in the gap." Glory to God. And so Isaiah 58:12 says this way, "Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in." I love this. So what is God saying through these scriptures? What is the Lord saying? He's saying that He's raising some of us up to do mighty things in this generation. Amen. I believe He's raising some superheroes up in this generation to turn things around. How many people believe that God might be raising you up to turn some things around, glory to God? And it's not by your might, it's not by your power, but it's by His Spirit, saith the Lord. See, we're nothing in ourselves. We can do nothing in ourselves, but with God, we can do amazing things. And see, you might say, "God, who am I? I can't do anything." You're the perfect candidate. When you start saying, "I can't do anything," that's when God can do something. Amen. That's when you start saying, "Lord, little old me, what can I do?" You can do great things in God. Amen. You got to believe that today. Amen. And so I love that. So Nehemiah, he fasted and prayed, and God blessed him. And God allowed the king to give him everything he needed to get the job done. And to build the walls, glory to God. And I'm telling you, there's some walls that need to be rebuilt in our families, glory to God. We need to learn to rebuild the walls through humbling ourselves before the Lord, glory to God. And as we humble ourselves, God will give us a vision, and He will bring other people in to help us with that vision, glory to God. The final account of another person I want to talk about is Queen Esther. And this is a great account because Queen Esther was a Jew. And she was married, of course, to the king. And the Jews, there was an edict that was written to destroy the Jews. This was by a man that was propagated by a man named Haman. And so this was a proclamation for the Jews to be destroyed. But Esther, she had influence with the king. And this is a situation. Mordecai, her uncle, pleaded with her, saying that she needed to do something. But she said to Mordecai, "I can't go before the king without being invited into his presence, because if I go not being invited, that could be off of my head." So in this time, the king had to call you. And then Mordecai says, "If you don't do it, God will raise up somebody else to protect the Jews, but you surely won't escape." And she said, "Okay." She said, "I will do whatever I need to get in the king's presence." See, you got to be willing to risk whatever it takes to get some salvation to your family. You're going to have to risk even maybe some food, even some meals to get your family going in the right direction, glory to God. And she was willing to do it, and she said in the scriptures, she said in Esther 4:15, Esther told the reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days and nights, or my maids and I will fast likewise, and I'll go to the king, which is against the law. If I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went, his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. Amen. And so this is powerful. We know the story that Esther fasted with Mordecai and with the Jews for 3 days. Think about that. And God granted her favor. She came into the presence of the king, and he had a staff. And if he put that staff out, that means that she was welcome in his presence. And of course, the next thing she had to do was put her hand on the staff. And he said, you could have whatever you want up to half my kingdom. Think about that. Think about that. That's powerful. And so she had favor and grace with the king. Glory to God. And you know the story. You know that she was able to get the king to write another edict that the Jews could protect themselves and fight against those that would try to come against them. And the Jews came out on top through that. Amen. Not only that, that Mordecai was also promoted to Haman's job. Haman was the villain in the story, and he ended up getting killed because he hated the Jews. Amen. And so what am I saying to you today? I'm saying to you, as you start fasting and praying, as you start seeking God, God can give you provision. God can give you vision. God can turn the things around that looks like they can't be turned around. I'm going to say this. There's nothing impossible with God. Amen. All things are possible with God, and all things are possible with those that believe. And there's no impossible situations. You might say, my kids, that's an impossible situation. But nothing's impossible with God. You start humbling yourself, fasting, praying, seeking the Lord, and God will turn things around. So we found out that fasting from humility in Daniel can make us irresistible to God, and God can reveal future events to us. We found out fasting from humility with Nehemiah can give us promotion and provision for the vision in our lives. We found out fasting from humility with Jonah can turn judgment into mercy in our lives and bless the lives of others because of our faithfulness to the Lord. And we found out fasting from humility with Queen Esther can give us an audience with the king and save a nation. So I'm going to say this, that you need to continue to focus this last week in fasting and prayer. Believe that God can turn your family around. Believe that God can turn the nation around. Believe that God can even turn you around. Amen. Amen. If you're not going exactly in the right direction. And so I just want to encourage you, as you seek the Lord in this last week of fasting, believe that God will put that fresh anointing on your life, glory to God, that maybe you're dealing with some kind of ailment, some kind of illness, that God will speedily heal you, glory to God, that God will give you some fresh vision that you can run on for the rest of your life. And when you run on vision, you will never get tired. Do you believe that today? Did you receive it this morning? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. And I thank you, Father God, that you're raising up a mighty generation to do great exploits for you. I believe, Father God, that you turn nobodies into somebodies. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're raising us up. We may be small in ourselves, but we're big in God. And I thank you, Father God, for these people here in the audience, those that are watching. And perhaps you've never made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, today is a day of salvation. And I would like to lead you in a simple prayer that can make Jesus the Lord of your life. It's time to humble yourself and put Jesus in the driver's seat. Say this out loud and mean your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, Amen. If you prayed that for the first time, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with Exceed Life Church so you can grow in your faith. If you're here locally, we want to invite you to come out and be a part of Exceed Life Church. If you're not here locally, find a good church home that you can hook in with so that you can grow in the faith that God has for you.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.